Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, pontificate, just shut up. Why won't you listen? Why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
Oh, I'm so happy to be with you this afternoon. In the lower 48, it's the afternoon. And if you're somewhere else where, well, happy day to you. This January 16th, 2018. 2018, can you believe that? This is indeed Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and you're tuned to BBS Radio Station 1. I have such a blast here. There's so much going on. My biggest problem in deciding what to talk about is just deciding, because there's so much going on. Before we get started, I want to tell you about a show that I'm doing. Actually, I've been doing this show on and off as a fill-in host. If you've been watching my website, if you want to know more about me, that's the place to go. You'll get more information than you ever wanted at www.karencataline.com. But I've been filling in on AM Talk Radio. And there is a wonderful host in Northern Colorado named Jimmy Lakey. And he has a program called The Jimmy Lakey Show, Fox News Radio 600, KCOL. And because it's an iHeart radio station, you can get it anywhere. You can go on to iHeart or go on to the 600 KCOL website, and you'll be able to get the podcast there, or you can get them after the fact from my website. I don't post them live because you can listen to the radio on iHeart for that. But nonetheless, the reason I'm excited, I'm always excited to fill in for Jimmy Lakey or just about any AM talk radio that asks me. I'll go anywhere, of course. Nowadays, electronically, you can go anywhere and you can stay in the privacy of your home or your studio or on the telephone, which is what I do here. But I'm real excited about the guests, and I just erased them. So I'm going to tell you from my memory. And that is, among other guests, and you'll be the first to know because I haven't even posted this online yet. Among the guests I'm going to have this Thursday from 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time are Alan West, or Colonel Alan West, stellar human being, has his own talk show, but Colonel Alan West will be with me. And then talk about newsworthy. If you've been watching the news, you know that Project Veritas has broken yet another story about Twitter and its censoring conservative thoughts and ideas. And James O'Keefe is an amazing guy who has a book coming out soon. And James O'Keefe will be my guest on Thursday morning. You'll just have to listen to when, because I don't have the dates, the times in front of me, but it's you can watch the Facebook page too if you're really interested in James O'Keefe. He's amazing. And we'll also have an amazingly highly thought of, brilliant thought thinker and professor, Victor Davis Hanson, who wrote an article about what DACA is really all about, and he'll be with me at, I believe it's 8:30 a.m. So Alan West, James O'Keefe, Victor Davis Hanson, and a whole lot more going on in local Colorado politics, so you won't want to miss that. I just had to give you a plug about that. Well, there's lots and lots of issues. I don't even have time, really, to do the little bites of big issues because everything leads to everything else today. And we have a lot going on. So what has the left been obsessed about? What has the left thought about, talked about, commentated about? That's not a word. The S-hole comments. They don't want to talk about good news. And guess what? There's a whole lot of it. And there's so much going on. I don't know if I'll have the time, but there is an amazing amount of good news. Just today, the Dow hit another record a month after it hit a previous record. It is now 26,000, the Dow. 26,000 points on the Dow. And if you remember, it was 18,000 something when Trump was elected a year ago. Nobody, no matter how much you watch, had the courage or the guts or the ridiculousness to think that the Dow would be up to 26,000 points. And if you're one of those people, and there are people like that, there are listeners of mine out there who thinks that the Dow only affects wealthy people who have their money in the stock market, that's not true. The Dow reflects an overall economic health of the country, and it's easy to understand why. The last I read, and I'm sure it's higher now, economic optimism in this country is at a 17-year high. Why? Because Donald Trump understands practically and genuinely the nature of overreach and regulation of the government. Who was it who said, you didn't build that? It was this constant during the Obama years, control and manipulation of the economy in order to affect a socialist outcome. Donald Trump is not a big ideologue. I've said that for years, but boy, oh boy, he understands the effects of a government constantly regulating, constantly trying to control, constantly trying to pick winners and losers. And he just said, let's not do that anymore, okay? Let's just not do that anymore. But what can the left think about and talk about? Only his alleged comments that certain countries are S-hole countries. And I'm going to keep saying that euphemism while cable news certainly didn't have a problem saying it. And yet, if you repeat what someone says, the so-called N-word, you are indeed a racist just for having repeated it, let alone quoting somebody else having said it. I hope that makes sense to you. I've got a lot on my mind today. Oh my, do I have a lot on my mind. So this notion that the only person, Dickie Durbin, who absolutely said that's what he said, is contradicted from a lot of Republicans, some who don't even like Trump that much, who said that's not what he said. But even if he did say it, the left is committed to him having said it. Why is that? The left is certain that he said it. Why? Because they have a vested interest in making sure that they have yet another piece of evidence. They never, ever stop looking for evidence that Donald Trump is a racist. Donald Trump is a racist. Donald Trump is a racist. It's just like Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. Racist, racist, racist. That's pretty much all they ever have to say. Now, here's one example of why they're so committed to calling Donald Trump a racist. All right, so get ready, Doug, our producer. We're going to play soundbite number one, Chuckie Schumer on the Stephen Colbert Show, CBS. Not that I need to publicize them. Here's what Chuckie Schumer said. Go, Doug.
I've known Dick Durbin for 35 years. He was my roommate for 20 years. We shared a little row house. He is one of the most honorable people I've met. I have never known him to prevaricate, to lie. I totally believe Dick Durbin, and I think most Americans do too.
Many people look at this and what the president has said and just said, okay, well, Donald Trump is a racist. Do you think that Donald Trump is a racist?
Look, his comments over and over and over again can be described as nothing but racist and obnoxious. He says he's not a racist. Well,
he's the least racist person.
Least racist person you'd ever speak
all
to.
All time.
So I have a challenge for Donald Trump, okay? Actions speak louder than words. You want to begin that long road back to proving you're not a racist, you're not bigoted. Support the bipartisan compromise that three Republicans and three Democrats have put on the floor. Everyone gave, and get the Dreamers safety here in America. That's what he should do.
Okay, that's enough. Unfreaking believable. Okay, so first he calls a proven liar his friend Dickie Durbin. He's never known him to lie. Well, that's a lie, but that's not where we're going with this. So notice that that Chuckie Schumer was not willing to call him a racist. He wanted to say that Donald Trump made racist statements, whereas everybody else is more than willing to scream racist, racist, racist. And of course, they must mock the idea that Trump had the gall to say, I'm the least racist person I know. I'm not a racist. See, in our politically correct world, we're not supposed to deny that we're racist, because the only way you can prove you're not a racist is to claim to be one. Can you figure that out? So we've been bullied by political correctness to such an extent in this country that if you call yourself a racist, that makes you less of one than if you deny that you're one. Okay, that's part of the bullying of the left to change the definition of words, to change the definition of racist. And I scoured the internet. I have more information than I can even begin to share with you about what the left thinks is a racist comment. All right, but we're not going to, there's just so much to say here. I know I'm being redundant here. So in fact, I have one article that says Donald Trump is a stone cold racist. So it's not enough to be a racist. You should be a stone cold racist. There was surely no doubt about that. Not after he launched his presidential campaign branding Mexican migrants rapists and criminals. He neglects to mention, not that I have to say this, but every single charge that has been made against Donald Trump, that he's a racist. If you look at those charges, much like all the charges against police officers in this country who have been called racists, unfair smears, outrageous smears of a group of people that put their lives on the line in order to protect us. If you dare to deny that you're a racist, you're a racist. Okay. Getting back to what I was saying. So the Mexican migrants and rapists and criminals, the comment that he made during the campaign, notice they can never, ever talk about what he's done in the last year. And by the way, he's coming up on a year anniversary, and we all ought to celebrate, because he wasn't supposed to win. He wasn't supposed to succeed. He wasn't supposed to remain president for more than a month. And he's going to be celebrating his 1 year anniversary, January 20th. But I digress. That comment said that Mexico sends not their best people. That means not all Mexicans are rapists, not all Mexicans are criminals, but that Mexico wanted to get rid of their rapists and criminals and send them to us. Now, this guy from The Guardian, Jonathan Friedland is his name, who wrote this January 12, 2018, has said that Donald Trump is a stone cold racist because he said Mexican migrants and rapists are criminals. That's not what he said. Or Jonathan Friedland continues after he praised white supremacists who marched under swastika banners in Charlottesville as very fine people. That too is a mischaracterization of what Trump said. And you were there, so you remember what he said. I remember what he said. He said that there were people standing on that street who were very fine people. He never, ever said that Ku Klux Klan members and white supremacists were very fine people. He was also pointing out that the people claiming to fight against them were Antifa and violent people. Now, these are the narratives the left has been pushing in order for the average citizen to continue to believe that Donald Trump is a racist. I've got article after article. I've got one here from Philip Roth. You know, I used to like Philip Roth, the author. He wrote the great book, or at least I liked it at the time when I was, 14 and hiding in my mother's hiding from my mother that I was reading the raunchy book Portnoy's Complaint. It's the first book that I ever learned the meaning of the word ubiquitous. When a Jewish mother is ubiquitous because she's everywhere watching you, you know, watching every move you make. Nonetheless, Philip Roth, another Jewish liberal, I can say that I'm Jewish, but not a liberal. I put the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. Well, here we have Philip Roth, who there was a book review, Philip Roth, who was interviewed, and he actually said that a true racist, a true anti-Semite, Charles Lindbergh, was better than Donald Trump, because at least Charles Lindbergh accomplished something, even though he was sympathetic to fascism and white supremacism. And but he did have an extraordinary feat of his solo transatlantic flight at the age of 25 and was a hero for 13 years. Whereas Trump, by comparison, is a massive fraud, the evil sum of his deficiencies, devoid of everything but the hollow ideology of a megalomaniac. One day I'm going to give a long dissertation to you on this show about why Jews are so liberal. I get asked that question so frequently that if I had a nickel for every time someone asked me, I don't know, I might have more than a dollar. Nonetheless, Philip Roth claiming that Donald Trump is worse than a known bigot from the 1930s, Charles A. Lindbergh. So there you go. So there is evidence after evidence. Oh, and here's this one, because I have time. Charles Blow from the New York Times, with the unfortunate name Charles Blow. I copy off his articles and put them up as Charles Blows, because his articles are hate-filled screeds of how much he hates Donald Trump, because after all, he is the great arbiter of who is and is not a racist. He starts out in the New York Times saying, "I find nothing more useless than debating the existence of racism, particularly when you are surrounded by evidence of its existence." But then he goes on to write an article about, what do you think? That Donald Trump is a racist. And so he writes, "It is not a stretch to say that Trump is a racist. It's not a stretch to say that he's a white supremacist. It's not a stretch to say that Trump is a bigot." And he goes on and on. "Methinketh these leftists protest too much," meaning that's all they ever say about him, except when they're saying he's mentally ill. And I have lots on that. Or when they're saying he's a misogynist and hates women, or when they're saying that he's lazy, which is hilarious, or a million other things that they've said about him, which for them, everything requires innuendo in order to think this of our president. I've been watching, I'm a political watcher forever, for a long, long time, much like all of my listeners. And in order for you to find Donald Trump a racist, you must add innuendo to everything they say he said was racist. And they're the ones who claim that these are dog whistles of racism. But see, they're the one creating the dog whistles. It's another example of projection. In order to see Donald Trump as a racist, number one, you have to believe that he came by his racism, I don't know, 2 years ago. Now, I'm, among other things, a social worker. I used to get paid for diagnosing people, both mental illness and other things. We didn't have a DSM-3 for racist, because now everybody would qualify. Everybody who says anything that the left doesn't like qualifies for being a racist. However, here we have this constant charge of racism, and usually a true racist, which the meaning of which means nothing anymore, is a person who's been marinated, to use a word of Oprah's, you know, that they should just die because they're so committed to their racism and hate and bigotry that they just need to die out. That's what Oprah Winfrey said, that the left is jumping up and down saying that she ought to be the next president. NBC wasn't very shy about saying she would be the next president based on one speech. You notice how deep and intellectual analysis the mainstream media, they hear one speech and boy, you know, she's the next president. Whereas Donald Trump has had to prove himself every moment of every day of every minute. And still he can't live down any of the charges because they're politically motivated. So what I'm getting around to saying here is that a racist, a true one, and there are them, but guess what? I think murderers are worse than racists. I think terrorists who hack people's heads off are actually worse than racists. I believe that O.J. Simpson was worse for being a double murderer, which I believe, than Mark Furman, who was accused of being a racist. I actually believe that. I think murdering innocent people is actually worse than being a racist. But, you know, today the left has decided that being a racist is worse than anything. And if you are one, which shouldn't be illegal, because you're allowed to hate whomever you want. Yeah, the left doesn't think so. They want to stop you. They believe in thought crimes and thought police. However, if you really are a racist, and people aren't quite that black and white. That's a pun. Did you get that? People aren't that black and white. Some people have biases. They have discrimination. I used to be really, really heavy when I was a kid, and I encountered plenty of hatred, and I knew I couldn't make a law against that. If people hated me because I was really, really large, I was really, really fat, well, then I just had to learn to deal with it and move on. And did it cause me problems? Yes. But unfortunately, in this life, you can never legislate people's tolerance or even people's acceptance. But that's another issue. So if you are a racist, I'm getting around to it, folks. I really, really am. You usually came back by it, but for many, many, many years. Either you're raised on it, like the KKK, or you grew up hearing this language and you believe that blacks or Jews or whomever are inferior to you. I mean, it's a pretty insidious kind of hatred, right? And I think it is good news for this country that we've made it so out of fashion. But guess what? It has jumped the shark. The charges of racism have jumped the shark to such an extent that it means nothing anymore. So I've got a second soundbite for you. And this one happens to be from, I think it was the early 90s, by none other than the great arbiter of who is and is not a racist, Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson was introducing none other than our current president, Donald J. Trump. Take it away, Doug.
Well, he is deceptive in that his social style is of such. One can miss his seriousness and his commitment, for the success is beyond argument. When we opened this Wall Street project and we talked about it, he gave us space at 40 Wall Street, which was to make a statement about our having a presence there. Beyond that, in terms of reaching out and being inclusive, he's done that too. And created for many people a comfort zone when I ran for the presidency in 84 and 88. And many others thought it was either laughable or something to avoid. He came to our business meeting here in New York, because he has this sense of the curious and a will to risk to make things better. And so aside from all of his style and his pizzazz, he's a serious person who's an effective builder of building for the builder of people. Last year he was a part of our workshop, of our panel workshop on what are the challenges and opportunities. And so this, a year later, Donald Trump, for a few minutes, challenges and opportunities to embrace the underserved communities. Donald Trump.
Okay, all that accent's hard to cover, but you can tell it's absolutely Jesse Jackson, shakedown artist in chief, who was singing the praises of Donald Trump. And many, many black, quote, leaders. It's too bad that Jesse Jackson is considered one because he's not an honest broker. But that being said, oh, and I'm not a racist for saying so either. In fact, I am, in fact, not a racist because I'm willing to criticize people regardless of the color of their skin. And that's where we have to get to, where we treat people the same. We're not afraid to criticize people because of the color of their skin. We don't give them passes simply because we think that they're more inferior to us and they either can't handle it or we treat them like mascots in our world and have to spot them 20 points. Nonetheless, Jesse Jackson was singing the praises of Donald Trump, and I don't have it with me right now, but I looked to see if Jesse Jackson has been an outspoken critic of Donald Trump today, now that he is president of the United States. And in fact, he has come out and criticized his S-hole comment, but he hasn't yet called him a racist because he knows better. He knew him personally, and he knows darn well Donald Trump is not a racist. And furthermore, when someone has the audacity, an advised word, to say, I am not a racist, the left laughs at them because they have put out of favor the notion that some of my best friends are black or some of my best friends are Jews. They have mocked every attempt of a conservative to work with them and to be accepted. But the problem is, this is all politically motivated nonsense. And that's what we have to get to and understand, is that it still stings to be called a racist because it is outrageous and it's bad. It's not as bad as murder, but it's bad. And so we try to roll over, and that's just what they want. So the time has come not to be moved by these bullying remarks. That's why I love black conservatives of all stripes, because they're the ones with the courage to stand up and say, guess what? You don't own me like a slave just because I don't have the same political views you do. We have to ask why the left is so committed to needing to call Donald Trump a racist, even when he denies, and there are other people saying he didn't say the S-hole comment, they're still committed to it anyway. That's when you know that it's politically motivated. Why? Well, we're going to get to some of this after the break. It has to do with the bombshell. I don't even know how to begin to talk about it, but we're not going to spend an enormous amount of time on it, but it has to do with the bombshell political scandal that is being uncovered day by day by day. The Fusion GPS scandal, the Uranium One scandal, the Trump dossier scandal, and I'm not afraid to tell you, if you want to know part and parcel of what's going on, watch Sean Hannity, because he has like a PowerPoint description of this, and it is complicated, but I can give you some of the main points of it because you got to boil it down to a couple of main points. So it's Uranium One, it's the exposure of phony going on in Washington, D.C., the swamp, as it's been called, and the hypocrisy that is being uncovered day by day. I really do believe that the left is racing against time, trying desperately to get rid of Donald Trump, hope against hope that they can get rid of him before he uses the power of the Justice Department, regardless of how much the Justice Department is weak, slow, and frighteningly incompetent at the moment. He still is able to uncover this corruption in a way that any Democrat would have successfully covered up. So that's part of what's going on here. I have lots more to talk to you about the kind of assumptions that we're making, unbelievable stories about pap smears for transgenders so they won't feel bad, Democrats boycotting the State of the Union address, which will happen January 30th, and I don't think anybody's worried. These people are hateful to begin with, so we might be talking about that. Oh, and your calls in our second half hour. I'm going to give the phone numbers, and we're going to take a break. So if you want to join in on this conversation, please call me now. I could get you on the air. Otherwise, I'll be ranting and raving some more. And you can call us at Spouting Off here at 888-627-6008, or you can call direct 323-744-4831, and we'll have more of Spouting Off right after this.
Hi, I'm Chandler, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arnn, on the continuing relevance of the Constitution.
Many argue today that the Constitution is outdated because it addresses problems peculiar to the 18th century so long ago. And some of it does read sort of quaintly. But consider the injunction against titles of nobility in Article 1, Section 9, for example. Is that so outdated? The purpose of that injunction is to prevent the government granting special privileges for partisan reasons. This strikes at the rule of law, the rule under which we're all to be treated the same. The crony capitalism so common today, where the government gives favors and tax dollars to some businesses and advantages over others, is exactly the kind of thing the Constitution was meant to prohibit. The Constitution is not outdated at all.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket Constitution and Declaration, go to ConstitutionMinute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
We are back. We are back. Hello. We are back. Yeah, we are. Am I on the air, Doug? Can you hear me? Yes, you can. Am I right? You are being heard. Yes. This is Karen Cataline back with you on Spouting Off here on BBS Radio Station 1. And we were talking before the break about the dog whistles and the linguine being jumped on the wall. Being thrown on the wall and all the charges against Trump. Now, why is it? This is something I've been wanting to talk about for a very long time, and I just haven't had the time to do it. I was thinking about this in some depth. I was thinking about this. I was thinking, why is it that the left is so committed to their hatred of Donald Trump, regardless of any new information that may or may not be coming out. You may remember, I was looking for it in my stack of stuff here, and I can't find it, that regarding the Hawaii false alarm, unfortunately, it was a sad story, really, that Hawaii a couple days ago had a false alarm, and people thought that an incoming ballistic missile was going to hit them and possibly destroy much of Hawaii, and people were grabbing hold of their kids, and they were terrified and freaked out, and it turns out that it was a false alarm, and that somebody, we don't know who, pushed the button several times and was absolutely committed to making this false alarm go through. Hopefully, they claim that there will be a lot more investigation on that story, and I'll be watching that story very carefully for you, and I hope you will be watching it too. But what was so fascinating, among so many other things, is that Hollywood went bonkers, as they usually do. Hollywood went bonkers. Let me see if I've got it here. All right, hold the line here. Yep, I've got it. Yep, I've got it. Hollywood, and somebody I really thought I had, you know, somebody I thought was smarter than the average celebrity, which, mind you, is not saying much. Here is a quote, a Twitter quote, because after all, you know, Hollywood celebrities are allowed to rant and rave on Twitter, but the president is not. No, the president is supposed to be statesmanlike and take all the incoming hatred and vitriol, but celebrities can put out as much hatred and vitriol as they want. It's okay. They're celebrities, right? Now, if he was a leftist celebrity and he was towing the political line of the left, they would let him tweet all he wants. That's clear. But here's a tweet from a Hollywood celebrity. You may know who this is, but I'm going to tell you. I'm going to read this. This was after the Hawaii resident debacle there. The emergency management agency quickly announced that the message was a mistake. Quote, tweet, this Hawaii missile scare is on you, Mr. Trump. The real fear that mothers and fathers and children felt is on you. It is on your era. Against hubris, narcissism, rage, ego, immaturity, and your unstable idiocy. Unstable idiocy? Really? Is that like a term? Shame on you, hate on your hate-filled self. You did this. And guess who that was? January 13th, 2008, Jamie Lee Curtis. You know, I used to think she was smarter than all that, but she has drunk the Kool-Aid in Hollywood, and she thinks it was Donald Trump's fault. Now, how she has made that leap of logic doesn't really matter because the left doesn't really care how illogical and how much cognitive dissonance they have. As long as they can blame the person they hate, they have gotten their political stripes. Here's another one. Oh, one of your favorites. I'll just tell you up front. Jim Carrey. Quote, I woke up this morning in Hawaii with 10 minutes to live. It was a false alarm, but a real psychic warning. If we allow this one man Gomorrah and his corrupt Republican Congress to continue alienating the world, we are headed for suffering beyond all imagining, beyond all imagination. So just the mere fact that Donald Trump is in office, it doesn't matter that half the country sent him there to clean up the hatred or to clean up the corruption in Washington. It does not matter. So, once again, I digress. I've been wanting to talk about this for a long time, and here's the question I have for you. And you are welcome to call in. You know the number. Here we go. Will the grassroots leftists recognize how wrong they were about Trump? Pause. You're going, is she serious? Really? Yeah. Do pigs fly? Will Harvey Weinstein revive his career? Will Jane Fonda suddenly join the Family Research Council? No, I don't think so. Based on past experience and what people think they know about politics, we accept it as common knowledge that the left has our best interests at heart. Certainly the naive part of the Republican Party, if they're not corrupt, they're naive, thinks that we merely disagree with the left, that that's the reason we disagree on policy. I started to think, what if Republicans, let me back up. The other day, several weeks ago, I was watching Tucker Carlson, who I enjoy watching at the dinner hour. He does a lot of fascinating things. I don't mind touting his skills. He's very, very good at what he does. So he had a reporter out in Berkeley, standing in Berkeley with a sign that said, he loves America. And there were people just screaming, muttering under their breath, hating that. That you could actually say that you love America. Then the same man put a sign, flying a flag actually, of ISIS, the ISIS flag. ISIS, you know, the entity that beheads people because they're not Muslim, that one. ISIS. And people said, right on. In Berkeley. They said, right on, the guy was flying an ISIS flag. Why? Because they are enemies of America and America is enemies of them. And they want to kill all Americans. And there you have the left in Berkeley, the heart of leftism. And there are many hearts of leftism, college campuses, Hollywood, a good deal of Washington, K-12 education. And they're cheering on our biggest enemy. So I got to thinking, I said, based on past experience and what people think they know about politics, we accept as common knowledge the fact that Republicans want to be the majority party. Right now, there's no evidence that they really do want to be the majority party. So we accept that, but it's not true. We accept that the policies that the Democrats support are what they think are going to help the country. And yet we see evidence that really, in this particular example, say Tucker Carlson and others have proven that there is a significant percentage, especially the young, and I don't say everyone, who actually hate this country. They want to see this country go down. Particularly, they want to see this country changed into a socialist utopia. And of course, they've been so successful because they've been sold a bill of goods that capitalism and free markets do not work and only help the rich. So they hate America the way it was founded. And certainly the policies that they have been supporting, open borders, government control, governments taking over states, centralized power, departure of the Constitution, empowering the judicial branch to make law instead of to interpret it, chipping away giant chips at the separation of powers. Those kinds of things the left has been against. Over and over again. How about this one? The left has been against energy independence, that America would still be looking to the Middle East that hates them for its energy needs. These are all the kinds of things the left has traditionally and vociferously been against, right? And yet we still give them the benefit of the doubt and we say that the left simply disagrees with us, but both of us have America's best interests at heart. I submit to you today, on January 18th, 2018, I don't believe that anymore. I'm not sure that a significant part of the left has America's best interests at heart. How can you, when all of the policies that they support, leads to the demise of this country as it was founded to be, a haven for individuals who love freedom and who love personal responsibility. You just can't make that assumption anymore. The facts don't support that assumption. The Republicans don't want Trump's policies to win. And why? That's another assumption that they do. Because they win either way. The deep state or the establishment Republicans, and I'm talking in general about all the enemies of Donald Trump's presidency, which is pretty much anyone who isn't a grassroots individual person just trying to, you know, either make their small business fly or live life and make a better life for their kids. It's a very giant split, and it really isn't left or right anymore. They don't care whether they have power. I'm quite concerned about this DACA thing because a good many Republicans do want DACA. They want Dreamers to come to this country and bring all the relatives. It is not, I repeat, not a race issue. If you're against people coming here who have not been vetted, who could be terrorists or who could end up on the public dole instead of contributing to the country, that doesn't make you a racist because whatever country you're from doesn't have a race. Mexico isn't a race. So by its very nature, that's a misnomer. The Democrats don't have America's best interests at heart. If they can, without hesitation, support policies that allow illegals into this country, that kill Americans, usurp American law, and upend the Constitution. How is it possible for, you know, supposedly well-meaning Republicans to think that Democrats have their best interests at heart? Furthermore, a lot is happening this coming week. As mentioned, this is January. Did I say January 16th? No, this is January 18th. This is January 16th. And these shows live on forever online, on iTunes and everywhere else. So I don't mind saying the date of the show, but you might be listening to it on another date, and you'll have more information than I do at this point. On January 16th, at the end of the week, we are looking to several things happening and going on. We are looking to more news about whether DACA is going to shut down the government or not. The wall, Trump has said, has to be a part of a proposal. And yet, what did six very open borders, globalist type politicians in Washington present him, or at least come up with? They came up with, they call him the Gang of Six. Well, I thought that we were supposed to get rid of gangs, and I don't like gang politicians any more than I like gangs like MS-13. But they came up with something, and then they ran over to the media and said, we have a deal on DACA. Never mind that only six people agreed, and they had already agreed anyway. People like Lindsey Graham, who everybody knows where he stands on open borders, Colorado Senator Cory Gardner, who has been a turncoat and has lost his base in Colorado. Colorado Senator Michael Bennett, who is a Democrat and who seems to agree with Cory Gardner. He was one of the Gang of Six. Both Colorado senators were on that Gang of Six. What did they do? They ran to the media and said they had a deal. Did it involve a wall, as Trump said it had to? No. Did it involve ending chain migration, which I think it's Dickie Durbin claims is a racist statement because he used the term chain. So chain migration now means chains. I mean, you cannot make this stuff up. It's so ridiculous. It's so bizarre. It's so absurd. And yet there are people out there who don't listen to this program, who don't listen to other commentators other than CNN, MSNBC, and those guys tell you that Trump is a racist, Trump is a racist, Trump is a racist. And anybody who voted for him is a racist, and you should hate them all. Meanwhile, we are the epitome of compassion because we love everybody. except people who voted for Donald Trump, and except Donald Trump. I mean, the hypocrisy is hilarious. You just can't keep up with it all. So we're looking to the end of the week, we are told, before there could be a government shutdown. My question to you is, are you worried about that? Are you worried about the government shutting down? The Democrats have been trying to scare people for years that not only will there be a government shutdown, but it'll be Republicans' fault. What the average citizen doesn't know is that the government shutting down isn't a real government shutdown. It's just not. Because essential services are never shut down in a government shutdown. This is typical government speak, right? Is typical government intelligence speak. There's not usually a lot of intelligence to government intelligence, right? And so a government shutdown really isn't a government shutdown because all essential services keep going. All government employees still get paid, although they may get delayed a little bit. So my question is, if they're non-essential, why do we have them at all? As a person who appreciates, who truly appreciates the value and the joys of limited government, see, the left and other big government people want you to believe that you need government to live. You need government to breathe. God forbid the government should be reduced to essential services instead of all the enormous behemoth of government bureaucracy that has enveloped your life. The other day I watched Invasion of the Brain, the Body Snatchers. The government is a little like that. They're a little like the Invasion of the Body Snatchers. They wait until you're asleep and then they suck the life right out of you and they clone you into a robot in which you cannot breathe or move without them. You must wait to get your orders. You may must wait to be told what to do. And resistance to that kind of control is a noble effort, believe me. And that is what true free market conservatives are trying to do. They're trying to help people understand why the invasion of the body snatchers is the government of today. Does that mean I am an anarchist? No. Does that mean I believe there ought to be no government? No. I think that we should keep government for what individuals cannot do for themselves. Things like making treaties with other countries, which it doesn't do well now because it's too busy having its hands and fingers and sticky fingers in our business. So they don't do that well, although Trump came into office promising to do a better job making treaties with other countries because politicians who don't really love this country at all were making horrible deals with other countries, giving away not only our store, but our 20% of our uranium. So basically, they were giving away everything because, I don't know, they believe in a utopian globalist notion that everybody should be the same except them, right? So once again, I went off on a rant. But I love ranting on Spouting Off because that's what we do here. We spout off. So yes, the government, which governs least, governs best. And I'm not worried about a government shutdown whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I love it when the government shuts down. That makes it possible for them to stop driving us crazy and attempting to take over our lives. If you've studied the Constitution at all, and people in K-12 education and public schools generally have not, because they've been indoctrinated into the joys of socialism, they believe that government is necessary for us to be happy, that government ought to take care of us from cradle to grave, that government, that the biggest tragedy in all of the world would be if government shut down for a few days. Well, we've really got to stare them down and not blink on this one. And I don't know, I think Trump may. And he's going to probably put it in their corner too, the left for having allowed the horrible, awful government shutdown. See, I don't really believe that. So I'm hoping the government shuts down for a while because there will still be essential services. And that, of course, is what we'd like to see the government do, is only be there for essential services and not be able to make sweetheart deals with people that pay them off, politicians who get special treatment, who get lots and lots of stock tips while they make sweetheart deals for the companies that they want. If you heard the commercial for the beloved Hillsdale College, I love Hillsdale College, they talk about crony capitalism, which is just as bad as all the other cronyism. So don't be afraid of a government shutdown. It's perfectly fine. All right. So another thing we'll have to look forward to is this ongoing story about Fusion GPS. And day by day, that story is trickling out. And here is, and I only have a few more minutes, here is what I think is the biggest takeaway. And that story is a gnarly, huge mess of corruption. It is so huge that I couldn't even begin to tell you all of it if you haven't been following it. Once again, do follow Sean Hannity. I've never seen him better than his TV program talking about this unfolding scandal of Hillary selling 20% of our uranium. What do you call it when somebody sells something that's not theirs to sell? Well, I would call it fencing stolen goods, actually. And then you take money, you sell it, and you put the money in your pocket. Well, that's part of what went on with Hillary. But also the person who hasn't been touched in this at all is our 44th president, Barack Obama, who was in cahoots with Hillary selling 20% of our uranium. And they spent a year telling us that Russia was the biggest enemy we could ever have, and yet they sold 20% of our uranium to them. So how big an enemy are they, really? The cognitive distance is amazing. But here's what I was getting around to saying. I always come back. It just takes me a while. Here's what I was getting around to saying. The biggest, most horrific thing about all of these scandals, they're all related, but they all go down different roads, is that Donald Trump's accusation that he was being wiretapped, he didn't know the right word, he was being spied on by who? None other than Obama's White House. All of these things were used as a ruse to open a FISA warrant so that they could legitimately, it wasn't legitimate at all, spy on Donald Trump both before he was elected, because he did pose a threat, and after, when he was a president-elect. Obama's White House was spying on their enemies using the power of government. That is called obstruction of justice. It makes Watergate look like child's play. It's astounding, and it is trickling out. And if you want to know why some of the people in the deep state are so terrified that Donald Trump is going to remain in office, it's because of these scandals. Uranium One, Fusion GPS. All of these things are trickling out bit by bit, and they are desperate to get rid of Donald Trump before that happens. I wouldn't bet against Trump if I were you. If you'd like to get a hold of me and talk more about all of this, whether you've heard this today live or online later, you can reach me at www.karenkataline.com, Facebook, karenkataline.com, that's spelled KarenKataline, or Twitter, at Karen Kataline. You can find me if you know how to spell my name. Thank you to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio, to Wiley Fox, HW, the guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when we'll have lots more to spout off about on Spouting Off.